The Property Coaching and Wealth Creation Podcast, brought to you by property and business coach Daniel Latto. Join the conversation at www.daniellatto.co.uk. Remember to like and subscribe.
Hey everybody, and welcome to the Property Coaching and Wealth Creation Podcast. With me today, I have a boiler plumber, I guess is the best way of calling you. Welcome, Dom. Nice to have you on the show.
Thank you.
And so you may be wondering, why have I got a plumber who deals with boilers on the podcast? Well, let me explain. Not last year, but the year before that, I actually went through seven boilers. Literally, I had to get seven new boilers. And at £2,000 a pop, that cost like £14,000. That should cost a little bit more than that. In 1 year, that's an awful lot of bloody boilers. No one ever told me that when I first became a property investor, 17 years ago, that I'd become the connoisseur of fine old boilers, but that's exactly what happened. And so I wanted to find out for myself, how do I keep boilers going? How do I get the best out of a boiler and so on? I thought, what better than to do that than to ask a boiler installer, a boiler repairman, someone that looks after boilers all day long. And Dom happens to be a client, so why not get him on the show? So, Dom, how long have you been a boiler? What are you? Are you a repairman, an installer? What are you with boilers?
Yeah, we deal with boiler installs, repairs, servicing and breakdowns. I've been running my own company now for 6 years.
Okay.
Doing it overall for 8 years.
Fabulous. And that keeps you pretty busy, I guess.
Yeah, very busy, especially in the winter. What I try and do, schedule all my servicing work for the warmer months.
Yep.
Keeps me free for all the breakdowns in the colder months. Just makes sense that way.
Perfect. Okay. And in terms of what's the usual thing that goes wrong with a boiler, what is it? Is it, like, I mean, obviously from my point of view, I'm referring to tenants playing with boilers. So, for example, I had one tenant, and he just had radiator problems, boiler problems, and then we got rid of him, because it was just costing us a lot of money. And then the next tenant didn't have any problems, which was a bit weird. Yeah. But in terms of what goes wrong with boilers, what's the biggest thing, really?
In terms of rental properties, a common one I get will be just the tenants not understanding the timer or the control. Someone might turn out, if HMO, for example, one of the tenants might turn out without the other one knowing, or vice versa, turn it down and not knowing. And it could be something as simple as that. I mean, I go to a lot of call-outs where I just have to make sure everything's working, and they say, oh, my radiator's not getting warm.
Yeah.
It's not just because the thermostat's turned down. Somebody else has turned it down.
Yeah.
Their radiator at top, so it's just a case of balancing out each individual radiator.
Yeah.
And going from there. I mean, there are various products on the market that would benefit landlords. I mean, there are different be hooked up by router and can actually be controlled from the landlord's property rather than from the rental property themselves.
Yeah, so I like the sound of that, because I like being able to keep in control. Whenever I go into my HMOs, the boiler's always turned up full blast.
Yeah, so you're normally paying the bills.
Yeah.
Profit.
And is that something that you can install?
Yeah, we can install those. There's a couple of different products that we offer. I'll leave all the links in the show notes for you.
Yeah.
So people can go and have a look at those. But yeah, that's definitely something we install.
So that's useful. And also, the other thing I take from what you've just said is actually to make a checklist, so that if a tenant's got a problem, they actually go through the checklist.
Yeah, absolutely. And another really simple one is boiler pressure. Most of the boilers are combis and therefore pressurised. And if someone bleeds a radiator, if I say, that will reduce the pressure in the system, but it's a sealed system.
Yeah.
On an older style one, it would fill up itself in the header tank and a lot, but a newer one, you have to physically put the water back in. And so if it goes below a certain pressure, it's usually around about half a bar.
So let me tell you a couple of things that I've done that you're going to find hilarious with boilers. So I've done the one where, you know, because usually you've got three or four knobbly bits underneath a boiler that you can turn to fill the boiler back up. So you never know which one it is. That's the first bit. So you're always turning the wrong thing. Why have I done actually put a little thing on it to say this is the one? I don't know. So if you're a landlord, that might be an idea. But then the other thing I've done is I've turned it on. And I've done two things. First thing is I've forgotten which one I've turned. And I can hear it, and I'm like, oh no. And it's, I can't shut it off, but yeah, I don't know which I'm doing. And the other one I had was where it actually broke off.
Very common. That happens a lot. The old Worcester boilers, that is.
Yes, that's it. I think it was a Worcester boiler in a house that I had. And it's like, oh my God, what happens now? Is the thing going to explode? Is it, you know? And as a layman, I know I shouldn't be calling, I shouldn't be touching it, you know, I just shouldn't be touching it, but then I don't want the 80 quid call out for a plumber to just, like, switch, do one little switch, turn up, switch it and bugger off. It's like 80 quid for that. It's like, oh no. I'm still a tight northerner, which has got its benefits, but also sometimes it doesn't either. Okay, so something else from that then is to, on all of your boilers, like I've got a fairly large portfolio, so, and we have different boilers, although we have standardised on, I can't remember what a boiler is now, we have standardised on a particular type of boiler, he's a particular plumber, and he just puts in the same type of boiler. So that's good for parts, and he carries parts and so on, so if we have a problem. But actually writing on, not a sticky note, because that will fall off, but just in some way writing on a piece of paper with a bit of string attached to it, which button or knob does which, I think that would be quite useful. And so then having the checklist of the tenants, I mean, I must admit, I'm not keen on having tenants even touching a boiler.
Yeah, it's a fine line. I think, obviously, there are plenty of competent people, but equally, there are just as many incompetent people.
A huge amount of incompetent people. I just recorded a podcast that's coming out in the next couple of weeks about being average or above average or below average. And for example, when we come to boilers, are people average or below average or above average in their knowledge of boilers? Well, it's fairly obvious that most people are below average, right? Yeah, so why would you want that person touching your boiler? Is only going to mess it up, or she.
Yeah.
It's just not what you want at all. So actually getting a professional in and being tight on it is probably not going to help you in the long run.
Yeah, which, I mean, what I'm looking to do, I've just got my new website up and running.
Yeah.
I want to add as many just sort of 30-second videos on how to repressurize a boiler.
Oh, that's brilliant.
Click on your model, you'll make a model, go straight to it, and just see a little 30-second video on how to do it.
That's mega useful.
Most of them are standardized in terms of external fitting loops, so that's pretty straightforward, but some of them have their built-in, like you mentioned, their own integral fitting loops, and they can be a little bit fiddly and trickly.
Yeah.
So if I put that on, if I've got a little video for that, then I should solve a lot of call-outs.
That's really cool. What's the website address?
It's www.pureboilers.co.uk.
Pureboilers.co.uk, perfect. Yeah. So, and all those, you're adding more videos all the time, I guess. That's an awesome idea, Don. Where'd you get that idea from?
A lovely coach that I know.
A nice leading question there. So, talking about being tight as well, one of the things that I often used to, I'm better at it these days, a lot better in fact, but the thing that I used to avoid was doing the servicing.
Yeah.
So I always used to think, well, surely it doesn't need a service, you know, it's just a way for plumbers to make more money. But then when you think about your car, that needs a service because it's got moving parts. And if in a property, there's only a number of things that are going to go. One is your boiler, the other is your washing machine and your washer dryer. Fridges and freezers very rarely go. Sometimes it's pipes, maybe, and sometimes it's a roof. Other than that, there isn't really much that actually goes wrong. So I used to skimp on my services. How bad is it when you skimp on a service?
On a newer boiler, the condensing boilers, they've got a condensate trap. This should be cleaned every year with every service. You'll get various little, normally bits of casting sand that fall into it. I just stopped any fumes coming back up in through the boiler.
Right.
If that gets blocked up, the boiler will just shut down, and it could do a lot of damage. I mean, if it gets blocked up, depending on the model of boiler, there are some out there that aren't designed very well. The water can actually back up into the heat exchanger and start damaging parts.
Got it.
So, I mean, that needs to be done every year when the boiler's serviced. Obviously, along with all your safety checks, I mean, obviously, being a landlord, you'll need to provide the CP trial certificate anyway. So
yeah.
It just makes sense to get the boiler serviced. I mean, the cost is in getting the gas man there. So once he's there, it's not really any extra to him to clean out the condensate trap and do a quick service on it.
Yeah. So I get my gas certs done at the same time as a boiler service. So again, the problem is always in cash flow. When you've got a large number of boilers, a connoisseur of fine boilers, you sort of remember, oh, that's coming up, I need to do it. And so then you do them all at once, and suddenly it runs into thousands of pounds. And actually what you're best doing is spreading that cost out, so you do five a month. or 10 a month, or whatever that number is for the number of properties that you've got.
And again, also, just on that point, try and arrange them, try and sort of move your seller in the warmer months or maybe the end of the summer, so they've all had a fresh service and you can identify any potential problems that could escalate further down the line into the winter.
That, by the way, is an awesome piece of advice, because what happens in October, the phone starts ringing, my boiler's not working. Every single year, we get maybe three or four.
That's absolutely silly season for heating engineers. You're going to be put to the back of the list, potentially, if you only just call it through.
Yeah, absolutely.
Use a bit of foresight, sort of begin in September, get them all done, ticked off, or sort of spread it across August and September. It's peace of mind for you, and obviously reduces any chance of expensive breakdown costs.
I've got it, okay. And in terms of the best type of boiler, what boilers do you prefer to install?
I recommend Valiant. I've done a lot of training with them. I mean, I've fitted all different sorts of makes and models over the years, but Valiant, the ones I've settled on, they're just reliable. They rarely go wrong. I think I've only had one warranty call out in all the hundreds I've fitted, and I can offer a longer warranty period with those as well. I mean, I've tried Worcester, I got annoyed with their plastic, funnily enough, their plasticky parts that would snap and go wrong. I just much prefer the Valiant brand. Great customer service from them as well.
So. I've got it. I was just having a look, and I've heard Valiant as well, being recommended on lots of forums and so on. I was just having a quick look. Ideal Logic Plus 24 Combi Boiler, that's the ones that I've standardised on.
Yeah, they're good. I mean, Ideal have come on leaps and bounds. They went through a phase of producing quite an awful boiler, but they've rectified that, and I think they've got a lot of head engineers. They've headhunted them from different manufacturers, and the Logic is quite a good boiler as well now. Yeah, they've totally transformed the brand with that one, I think.
And some of my boilers, I'm just actually was spending a lot of money going back into the properties, refurbing them, new doors, internal painting, all the works, you know. And one of the things that we're doing as part of that is boiler installs. We've got some boilers that we haven't touched for maybe 15 years. We've had services and we're still going. Is there a real benefit in terms of efficiency and keeping you, like one of us is a HMO actually, so again, a house of multiple occupation, I'm paying for the bill there. Is there a real benefit on getting that boiler, you know, if it cost me $2,500, is there a real benefit of getting that boiler swapped out?
I mean, depending on the age of the boiler and what boiler was in there originally, yes, definitely. I mean, condensing boilers are a lot more efficient than sort of old floor standing boilers. I mean, you're looking, it's hard to say, but roughly around about £200-300 a year, you could say, if it's set up properly against a really old sort of 15-20-year-old inefficient boiler.
Yeah.
Because condensing boilers don't throw as much heat out as the flue.
Yeah.
So obviously they almost recycle that and reuse that. Whereas an older one, you're wasting a hell of a lot of heat out of the flue. That's the main efficiency save there. And obviously, when you have your boiler installed, you should really have the system power flush.
I was going to ask you about power flushing. Just explain what a power flush is and what it does.
Yeah, that basically involves setting up a large pump with the flow and return pipes of the central heating system. When normally, when you remove the boiler, you do it just to save time. So the power flushing would work in the background. That just basically involves heating the water, adding cleaning chemicals, and pumping it around the system, around the radiator system, with a sort of heavy-duty pump. Then you just go around each individual radiator, and you agitate them with the thing from AD Magna Cleanse. You agitate the radiator with a hammer drill, and it just shakes. It's magnetite, what the actual sludge is. It's called magnetite.
Okay.
And that's just a breakdown of the metals of the steel and the radiators over time. So we then flush that round, and we use two large filters, again from AED, the company. They collect all of the sludge and magnetite out as it gets passed around the system. You clean it off and it just speeds the process up. So what that does, that just gives you basically all your radiator volume back. What you might notice on your lowest floors, it could be your ground floor or your basement, you might find the radiators are getting quite cool at the bottom, and that's just a build-up of the sludge. And because it's a bit heavier than water, it'll sink to the lowest point in the system. So obviously, if your boiler's on the lowest point, it could be the heat exchanger in the boiler that gets sludged up.
Yeah.
Just settled on the lowest point. So obviously, that gets flushed. That will then go along with your boiler install, and you can get the boiler manufacturer out. You know, if they have got any issues, they can see the power flush system. Because what they don't like is the boiler replaced and the system not to be flushed out.
Yeah, you see, I've had that a couple of times. I was just making a few notes about what we're going to talk about next, because whenever you're getting a new boiler, it's got to be de-sludged, right? That's my word for it.
Yeah, because otherwise, obviously, if you're putting a brand new boiler with, say, a 7 or 10 year warranty on a dirty system, the first thing that manufacturer's going to come out and do under warranty is have a look and see if the system was dirty. If it is, they'll just walk away from it and say it's not covered.
Yeah, and I've had that with my insurance as well, where they've come out and said, no, you need to do this first, otherwise it's not covered. And luckily, I've done it, and then they've come back out and replaced the part that was needing to be replaced. Yeah. Okay, so if you've not de-sludged, that's my terminology for it, because I'm a layman. Yeah. If you've not de-sludged your boiler system, how often, you know, for say 3 or 4 years, is that a problem? How often should you be de-sludging it?
Well, let's say if you have a brand new boiler fitted and you have it power flushed, what we tend to do is sell a MagnaClean filter with it on the return pipe. That will then catch any loose bits of sludge in the system. Obviously, once it's the system's been flushed, you'd add an inhibitor,
which
just slows the process down of the sludge building up.
Got it.
And then if you put a MagnaClean on the return, every time you get the boiler serviced, you just give a little MagnaClean filter a clean, and that gets rid of any sludge.
Perfect. Now, I think I've seen one of these in one of my HMO boilers. It's like a cone-shaped device that sits outside the boiler.
That's it.
Yeah.
We've got a couple of videos up on our YouTube page, again, Pure Boilers, of us doing some power flushing and actually showing you what comes out of the system.
Got
it's
it.
Really beneficial to show a customer just how much stuff comes out.
Oh, I dread to think.
Sometimes.
Yeah. And what's it look? Is it like dark, literally dark brown sludge?
That's it. Horrible. It's almost like a tar.
Wow.
Really dark browny black, and you can see sort of chunks of rust on there as well, and that's the sort of thing you don't want to be getting on the carpet or anywhere, in fact.
Yeah.
It's like ink.
Oh, so you know when you're bleeding the radiator and sometimes the water comes out and it's dark brown, is that an indication that it needs a power flush?
That's it, yeah, that's a sign. Because it's at the top of the radiator normally when you bleed it.
Yeah.
As bad. If you were to do that at the bottom, it'd probably be closer to black, so yeah.
Wow, so that's really interesting, because when I think back to when I've bled radiators and that brown stuff's coming out, it just never occurred to me that that's the problem, you see. I never put those two together.
And obviously as well, with sludge in the system, it puts a lot of strain on any moving parts. So if you've got a pump, either internally or externally, it's just having to work a lot harder. It's almost like pushing around treacle rather than clean water.
Yeah, of course. So if someone wanted to run a check then, what we need to do is go up to a radiator, just bleed it, let any air out, and then see what colour the water is?
Yeah, that's a good basic check. And then what you can do, I mean, a lot of radiators on the downstairs, they will have drain offs on them. You can do the same there. Just get a little spanner or pair of grips or pliers. Just open it half a turn and then close it. And just catch a little bit of the water in a pot. And that should give you an indication. Obviously, if it's completely thick and black, then that would be a good sign. So the system does need flushing out.
And that will extend your boiler so much longer if you can actually stop sludge.
Yeah, your boiler, your pump, motorised valves, all the three things, you know, with the moving parts that are common to failure from sludge. So, I mean, if your system's clean and well maintained, it's just going to prolong the life of it and save you money in the long run and save you call out.
That's brilliant. So my handyman, I've got a handyman over in the UK, and he does all my work for me. Literally, he does everything. He's putting new doors on at the moment, as it happens.
Yeah.
But he does everything, right? Yeah. So what I'm going to get him to do, every time he pops around to a property he's not been to for a while, I'm going to get him to just run that little check.
Yeah.
And then I can pay for it to be power flushed. What's the sort of average pricing on a power flush? Does it depend on how big a system is? Or?
Yeah, I was going to say, obviously, house size is very massive. Normally, it's a rough guide for a 10 radiator system is around about £300 plus £20 for their fluid.
Got it.
Around there. I mean, there are people who do it cheaper, but watch them because they tend to do it quicker and not thoroughly.
Of course.
It's a slow process. I mean, it's a good day's work to do it properly because you have to do the whole system and each radiator individually, reverse the flow, dump the water, refill it, and then neutralise it at the end because some of the chemicals are quite heavily acidic.
So it's pretty major then. I've seen like HSS Hire Shop. I think you can hire one of these machines. I'm guessing that's something you wouldn't recommend because most people don't know what they're doing.
No, because connecting up, you can cause all sorts of issues. You can potentially do more damage. I mean, you don't pipe it up correctly and then it's getting all the drain away and everything else. Yeah, it's not advisable unless you're extremely competent.
Well, the other thing we talked about earlier was about being average and above average or below average. Someone who's going to do that, who's not got a lot of experience, is going to be below average. Why would you do that when you can get someone who's above average, who's a professional plumber, to do the job properly on a...
It's all about knowing your weaknesses, isn't it?
It is. Yeah. Yeah, and like, you know, being a tight northerner, and I love being a tight northerner, it suits me, as most people know, but actually it's like it's called a Laffer curve, where you can go too far,
yeah,
and then the benefits actually,
yeah,
the negatives outweigh the benefits then.
Yeah.
Okay, I've got it. And in terms of how you're growing your business now, so I know we've spoken in coaching calls about you're now providing insurance to cover, you know, things that go wrong in boilers and that sort of thing. Can you talk a little bit more about that? Because there's other companies that do it, like British Gas and Empower, and there's always little clauses, isn't there, that nullifies their responsibility somehow. Yeah. Just talk to me a little bit more about what you're doing with that.
Yeah, well, I'm offering three cover care packages. The most basic is just a service plan and CP12. That would just be a monthly fee when it effectively just covers the service and the safety certificate of your boiler.
And how much is that? Just give prices on each one.
£5 a month.
Oh, that's all right, isn't it?
Yeah, so, I mean, if you're a landlord just with a boiler in your property, then it's £5 a month and you're sorted for your annual service and CP12.
Okay.
The next one up for that is the standards cover care. That covers boilers 7 years and younger.
Yeah.
That's £12 a month.
And what does that cover? So if a boiler breaks down, it covers repairs as long as the boiler's under 7 years?
That's it. And then up to £250 worth of parts is covered in that.
Okay.
And then what I've got to say, I've got all the terms and conditions available for people to see.
Yeah.
And then you can add the system cover care package onto that for an extra £3, so taking up to £15 a month. That will cover radiators, the pipe work, radiator valves, pumps, motorized valves, all the things that tend to go wrong in your airing cupboard if you've got a conventional boiler,
yep,
as opposed to a combi. So that covers that. And then the advanced cover care is for boilers over 7 years old, and that's £17 a month. Obviously, because they're, from our point of view, a lot higher risk.
Of course.
And again, we can add the cover care, the system cover care package for £3 a month on top of that. So that takes us to £20. And all of those, you'll still get your annual service and your CP12 certificate with it for the boiler. So that's all built into the price.
Got it. So that seems really good value, actually. And again, as property investors, we are monthly beings. Like, most people are monthly because they get paid a paycheck. And as a property investor, we also get paid monthly because they pay the rent monthly. And so, again, the biggest problem is when you've got a boiler goes down, it's £2,500 up front, you know, times six or seven of those a year. It's a nightmare. But if you can offset some of that by having, you know, even if it's £25 a month, as long as that's offset and it's each and every month, that makes life so much easier, because then you can book it into your budget.
Yeah.
So one of the other things that I've negotiated with my local plumber, so I'm Leeds based, that's where most of my stuff, and you're sort of Bristol based, is that right?
Yeah, Bristol and Swindon.
Got it, okay. Yeah. I hear the Bristolian twang there in your voice. So I actually worked in Bristol at Aztec West many, many years ago, 12, 15 years ago, something like that. And someone said to me before I went down there, because I'm from Leeds, big city, and I lived in Swindon for a bit, and I commuted over to Bristol, and they said jokingly, "Oh, just wait until you see the tractor on the M4," and oh, how we laughed, sort of thing. And then a couple of months later, I actually saw the tractor on the M4, and it was like, oh, we weren't joking, that was actually true. I'm not sure how legal that was, quite honestly, on the motorway with a tractor, but anyway, there you go, 15 mile an hour. So the other thing that I've negotiated with my plumber is that for any new boiler installs, and I pay a little bit more for this, but it helps from a cash flow point of view. Instead of it being £2,000 up front, I pay maybe £800 and then £300 for the next, I don't know, 6 months or whatever it's going to be, whatever it works out for. And from a cash flow point of view, that helps immensely. So when two or three boilers go down, or because at the moment we're replacing boilers, we can replace three new boilers a month. And then we can wait a couple of months while we pay those off, and then we can do it again. And that makes life so much easier. Is that something you do?
Absolutely. That's, once I've got this cover plan rolled out, which is happening this week, it's all going live, my next job is to arrange finance packages for landlords and customers, everyone, basically, yeah.
Brilliant.
After speaking with you, it's definitely something we want to implement.
I'm just so surprised that more plumbers don't do this, and I think it's probably because of my experience that I've had with my plumber, and then it came up in a coaching call, and that's why you're implementing it, I'm guessing.
Yeah.
I'm just surprised more...
Well, many trades are sort of almost stuck in the dark ages. There only seems to be a few of us that are looking to push forward and take on everything new, you know, and expand and try new things.
Yeah.
So, yeah, definitely.
It's just really funny that, like you said, plumbers are stuck in the dark ages, and, you know, I mean, how long is a boiler... been around for, like, I don't know, 50, 60 years, 70 years, I don't know how long.
Yeah, yeah.
And fundamentally, I don't think it's changed too much. What's the difference in terms of, why do people still get gas boilers rather than electrical boilers?
Running costs.
Got it, okay. But
yeah, just gas is still one of the most efficient ways to heat a house.
Yeah.
And obviously, if you're installing a boiler to replace one, normally, if you were to go electric or renewables, the property probably isn't geared up for it. It needs to be, you know, really well insulated, airtight, yeah, and everything else. The U value needs to be in the right place, otherwise it won't stack up. It's just down to a cost and an efficiency thing.
Got it. Perfect. Okay, so I think that's all my questions answered. I hope that's answered lots of other people's. I've got loads of stuff out of this call. The biggest thing I've got from this call is to go do the sludge check on my boilers, because that's going to ruin the efficiency of them, and if they break down, it'll affect the insurance, and it'll mean I need a new boiler earlier than, you know, if it extends the life of that boiler 2 or 3 years, then job's a good one. One quick question I've got is, I heard that condensing boilers are literally designed to last for 7 years. They're designed to fail within that period of time. How accurate is that, would you say?
Not very accurate. I mean, there
good.
Boilers that probably gave them a bad name, as I mentioned earlier.
Yeah.
No, again, if they're serviced well and looked after, 10, 15 years is doable easily.
And then one final question is, in the house that I actually live in Leeds, we've got, it's a blower boiler that blows hot air, so it's electric. It warms like a giant fan up, just like one of those little foot heaters, and then it shoves it up through some metal pipework up into all the bedrooms.
A warm air,
that's exactly what it is, a Johnson & Starley warm air unit.
Actually, is that electric or gas?
It's electric.
Oh, right,
okay. I actually had to replace the thing that gets warm and then blows it all up. That needed to be replaced.
Yeah.
And I actually did research online, bought a second-hand unit from some dodgy place, took the old one out, put the new one in. Look at me, boiler man. But I still paid for the Johnson & Starley guy to come round to watch over me to make sure I didn't electrocute myself, because I thought that would be a good idea. Because, you know, it's my own house, so I'm there. It's not like if it would have been a tenant's house, I would have just got him to go and sort it out.
Yeah.
But that's been in for like 20, 25 years. And I'm just wondering, there's nothing like having a boiler with radiators, quite honestly.
Absolutely. And again, it's just the speed of it and how quickly it heats up. I mean, especially in this country when the weather's just so up and down, you know, it can be -2 or -3 one evening, and the next evening it could be 10 degrees.
Of course.
Obviously, with a decent thermostat and the setup, it will compensate for that, and you can go all the way and get weather compensation kits, but that's probably for another podcast.
Yeah. See, on that one, it warms upstairs really well, but not downstairs much.
Yeah.
So the kids end up, like, melting.
Yeah.
So maybe we need to replace that one. The problem being is that the house is literally built around that system. You have gaps above the door where it allows warm air in. It's a bit weird, really. But
I've done one, and obviously we used replaced the warm air unit for radiators and a boiler, and we just used all the ducting to run the flow and return pipes down.
Oh, I see.
Disruption. And we put the boiler in the loft, so it's out of the way.
So in terms of an install like that, what's the sort of cost for something like that to replace a warm air unit?
A boiler, and obviously how many radiators you need, I'd say it'd be around about 3,000, obviously for all materials. That's probably 6 or 7 radiators, a lot of pipework, and then a boiler itself, obviously the labour.
Interesting. I think that will probably be one of our jobs in the next 6 months, probably in sort of September, October time, just before it gets cold again, and we'll get rid of that unit. Wonderful. Is there anything else in terms of boiler breakdowns that you'd like to talk about?
Well, obviously, with me launching my scheme, I'm putting a really big push on the boiler cover plan, so people are going to have to go to the website and have a look at that. And again, I'm a Valiant accredited installer, so I can offer the longer warranties, and they've got a local depot based just down the road as well, so I return to their regular training, so I'm always up to speed on everything.
Yeah.
Other than that, I mean, that's it. And people can go to checkatrades.com, /pureboilers, have a look at my reviews.
Perfect.
Yeah, that's about it. And again, I'm on Facebook and Twitter, it's Pure Boilers. Yeah, that's to see reviews, but other than that's all good.
Wonderful. Well, look, thank you very much for coming on. You certainly answered loads of my questions, and you've left me with a task list now of stuff I need to get done. So thanks for that. But it's stuff that's going to save me quite a bit of money in the long run. So, look, Dom, I really appreciate you coming on a podcast. Thank you very much.
Brilliant. Thanks for your time, Dan.
Take care. Cheers.
The Property Coaching and Wealth Creation Podcast, brought to you by property and business coach Daniel Latto. Join the conversation at www.daniellatto.co.uk. Remember to like and subscribe.